Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Jason Nemro. You're listening to Cohen Meander. It's the last few days of May, which means my birthday's coming up and Memorial Day and just all the normal things that normally happen in May. It's 2024. Life goes on. I've been scratching up against a game, creating a game to to code. It's based on the plan of salvation, or the plan of happiness, the plan of exaltation, the plan of whatever you want to call it. God's plan for his children. How about that one? And doesn't really have much of a name yet. I've called it the Webified Game of Life, because I originally thought that that might be a kind of a decent way to look at it. The old board game, the Game of Life, not like Conway's Game of Life, which is mostly kind of bacterial. It's not specifically bacterial, but very interesting thing. Anyway, I can't believe people have done dissertations based on this, because it seems like Conway should have got the PhD, not the people studying it, because Conway came up with it. He came up with the rules, and he just said this is just the algorithm, and it's not difficult to code particularly. I've seen a version of Conway's Game of Life done on the Sinclair ZX81 with 1K of memory in BASIC. So, you know, I said it's probably not the most full implementation of the Game of Life, but it has enough elements to it that it behaves in a manner that works that way. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're not like reproductive bugs. We are children of God with the capacity and opportunity to become like him. It's not just an inborn capacity. It's also that God has arranged for things to happen to facilitate this. See, I don't know if I get kind of squirrely when I use the term facilitate about a lot of things, because a lot of people think, well, it's you not doing anything. And you go, well, what's God up to? God set everything into motion. He sent the planets and the sun and the galaxies and all the processes here on Earth. He set into motion. That sounds like facilitation to me, all toward the ultimate goal of our development. And I know I use different terms than a lot of people do to describe what's going on. We're actually part of a God development program. And the funny thing about the program is God doesn't really goof with it too much. He set it in motion. He put all the pieces together. Christ coming to earth and then taking upon himself our repented sins, paying the price for them, and then being resurrected. These are all processes, for lack of a better term for it, to put into motion. Oh, that reminds me. I was just reading an article. It's from Psychology, so I look at it slightly askance. It's from Psychology Today, which is kind of pop psychology, but can I be honest? All psychology is pop psychology. It's nature. It's redundant to say pop psychology. Just say psychology, because that's what it is. Whatever's popular at the moment, whether it's really all that good or not. And I know that, I really work over teachers because I kind of look askance at pedagogy. We have trained up too many people from childhood, guy from infancy practically, to wait for externalities to tell us who we are, what we do, how to behave. And pedagogy works in that way too. You know, it tells you what you're supposed to know. And, you know, you can go back to Plato and Aristotle to say, wait a minute, you know, here's what everybody needs to learn. The literacies. And, you know, and you're going, well, somebody else thought that up. And it's basically on like Plato's internal talent scheme. What he was really good at, he thought was what everybody should know. Very pompous, don't you think? But there it is. Anyway, so I'm not a pedagogy guy. Anyway, and I'm not a psychological person particularly. Although people can say, well, you certainly seem to know a lot about it. And you go, well, I think that's because a lot of it's very obvious. And it's painful that we have trumped up this profession to be so central to our lives. Everybody needs to be in therapy where, I'm sorry, I apply the 150-year rule, and to be honest, there was maybe two psychologists in the whole world back then, certainly didn't have that name, and they were just trying to explain the universe of why people behave the way they do. And given their take on it, what we should do about it. And it really ends up being their take on something. Whoever it is that tends to kind of take over the profession at any given time. That's why, it's like, well, it's pop psychology. You know, it's just psychology. It's always what's popular. Anyway, so I read this article. I'm not sure if it came from Psychology Today, but it probably did. About doing rituals instead of habits. I kind of muck them together in this game that I've been putting together. This game based on God's plan for His children. It's somewhat turn-based. You make choices. there is an element of repentance. I have to make it kind of difficult because a whole lot of repentance has to do with changing, see, and I call them habits as opposed to rituals. I came up with the habits. I need to let me really quickly see if I can just pull up one. Oh, okay. I must have rebooted. All right, here. We'll do it this way. Okay. I've got to do this before my internet access starts getting flaky. It's a little flaky partway through my journey. And I'm doing this while I'm driving, which is considered to be very, very bad. Okay, let's see. There's Zenith development. Another interesting idea, which is you want to become like a Zenith, but we're not talking about that right now. Maybe another day. Okay, the Webify Game of Life. All right, let's take a look at the different habits that are tracked in here. 152 choices, plus or minus 152 choices. There are chances that you can die young in this game, and that's part of the stress to get to fixing problems about yourself, is that you might have limited time to do this. And so the smart thing to do is to get to it and don't stay. Okay, here we go. I like this first one. I call it cleaving. It's the cleaving habit. It has to do with marriage and marital devotion over time to your spouse. I have to use the term spouse. I'm trying to make this game as generic as it can be, because, you know, I want both men and women to feel like it's a part of them. I have to work on that a little bit more. I'm, you know, as part of the screen that you see whether you're married, which is really important. You guys know that to get the exaltation, you have to be married. You have to be married in the temple. There's some presuppositions in the game. Number one, you start at the age of 18, it's presupposed that you've already been baptized authoritatively. You know, now that's tricky for non-Latter-day Saints who say, well, man, I need to get baptized. And they'll go down to their local preacher. And so kind of the backstory of this is the absolute centrality importance of being baptized by someone who is actually authorized by God. And you don't just go to somebody who I went to college. I went to school preaching. And after I got done, I was authorized to baptize people. They might even have some kind of a ritual attached to that. You know, you got this ability from me. I gave it to you. I'm not saying the rituals are bad. What I'm saying is, where they put in place, where they set in motion by one who is authorized. And the answer to that question is simple. Joseph Smith and John the Baptist, when they got to the part of the Book of Mormon, which we're at right now, about baptism, Alma the Elder baptized people in the waters of Mormon. Where's that Mormon name again? But anyway, that came up, and Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery said, what does this mean? And God sent John the Baptist, who obviously was authorized of God to baptize. Jesus Christ went to John the Baptist for his baptism. You can't get much more of a certification than that. If Christ comes to you to get baptized, you must have authority. And Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were given that authority directly by John the Baptist. And so, and they passed on that authority to others, and it came around to people that I'm not unique at all, people like me, most kids that are 16, most boys that are 16 in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are given the authority to baptize. Now, whether they actually use it or not, whole other thing. Regardless. So, I don't know where that came from exactly. Oh, the fact that in the game, it's already presupposed that you've accomplished that. You're already on that course. You've already made a commitment with God that you're going to follow Christ. So, you know, I do that. Okay, one of the basic things you need to accomplish is this cleaving. You need to get married, and there's a certain amount of devotion to your wife or husband given choices that get thrown at you. I can't imagine, but there's going to be times, and we may very well separate out and say this is for men or women, you know, put in your thing. Although I want it to not immediately turn off these transgendered folk. I want them to play the game too, because I want it to come back. So they say, wait a minute, you know, my decision to be transgendered really doesn't fit into this plan. It really screws up the game. And you go, yeah, it does. And how that influences what happens. Okay, so these habits are measured. Some you come into the game with either a lot or a little of these habits. And for the first part of the game, at least, most part of the game, every 3 years, you're given the opportunity to make a habit adjustment to a few of the habits. There are actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is there 7? Is there 7 habits so far that I've come up with? Doesn't mean I'm going to come up with some more, but these are basically habits that are good. If you're too anal about it, that'll be bad about any particular habit. Anyway, so okay, cleaving is the first one. To be married and it involves intimacy, it involves everything else. The manner of cleaving, and of course to a member of the opposite sex through marriage. And of course in doing this, it produces children. We're not going to take into account the possibility of adoption or anything like that. It's just, you know, you can't make the game that huge, at least not initially. You want it to have some basic things, and you want to combine some things too. It isn't just getting married, it's also staying married. Okay, second habit, parenting. And cleaving is marriage and a devotion to marriage. Parenting encompasses having children and raising them, and how much time and effort, resources you put toward this thing, and whether it's an ennobling thing or not. You know, there's in parenting, I swear a lot of people, especially the unconditional love set, tend to coddle their children a lot. And it's just another indication of you can take any particular habit and push it to a limit where it ceases being good and it starts being bad. You know, helicopter parents, controlling your children's lives, stuff like that. And although these things might be more useful when you're younger and your children are little, you know, over time you really need to kind of trust to the fact that trust is a big thing, but it really doesn't feature as a habit. Maybe it should. Except when the day comes, I think trust and faith are the same thing. Faith is a habit, but it is a particular trust. It's trust in God. Anyway, let's not go there. I'll say, so we're talking about parenting. You can always, I think you can take some things too far. I don't think trust in God you can take too far. Okay, so we've got cleaving. There's the first habit. Parenting, second habit. Third habit is health. And that's the big, broad taking care of body and mind sort of thing. You know, good food. Staying away from damaging things. To be honest, embracing sexual deviancy or this whole, you know, alphabet soup kind of you need to accept me the way I am sort of thing isn't healthy. So that gets kind of wrapped up in health too, and I'll need to add that to the my little cheater list of what these things involve. The next one is learning. And I think it's established enough in the literature that learning has a greater effect on income than anything else. And that doesn't mean education. I stayed away from the term education because it really is about learning. I almost called it development, but that's actually overarching here. All of these habits contribute to your development, your growth into whatever you're going to turn into, whatever your choice tends to be. It has nothing to do I didn't put in here career. I didn't put in here work. I didn't put in here those things because I don't think it's – I think that's circumstantial more than anything else. I think work predominantly keeps out of trouble. That's why I'm struggling right now with the job I have now is because I really don't have much work to do, and I'm trying – and I'm having to – and I'm having to do other things. In fact, a whole lot of work isn't learning. You know, I'm putting my feelers out for my next job. And what's really kind of bad is most of these places have really no interest in you getting better. They want you to come preformed. Or before you show up on their doorstep, you're expected to be this fantastic expert in everything. And the closer you are to being an expert on exactly what they want and what they have is what they're going to go for. And development really doesn't happen too much at work, at a profession, really, to be honest. Not that you don't pick up new stuff along the way, because things don't stay static. But you would swear when people hired you, they pretty much hire you for a pretty specific job and a pretty specific role, and they've already predetermined the kind of person that they really want. And it's hard to do a fit in there. And I know I try to explain to people, hey, man, I'm still learning and growing. I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still testing the limits of me. And most of the jobs I get are very boring. And so just not interested. And that's why I hope something good comes from my my application to teach at the community college level. Because that's very much, although I can't say community college is very developmental, it's okay, I don't think the university is particularly either, but at least more lip service is paid to it. The community college is basically about getting you skills that in the old days you used to learn on the job. They try to get you the skills that are most in demand in a lot of places, and that's of course what that's what CTE is. It's career and technical education, which is mostly getting you ready and certified to do certain kinds of work. Anyway, that's okay. So anyway, but so we talk about learning, and learning includes income and everything else. Just because all these sorts of games have these sorts of, for lack of a better term, they always want to measure things by money. And it's going to be funny because there isn't really some prize for whoever gets the most money. But it's there almost as kind of a weird satanic distraction to make you weird. It has to be opposition in all things. So therefore, we talk about opposition. Although learning is a good thing, you can take it to... I don't know what the extreme is there. Anyway, it's not going to be so much about the work that you do. It's going to be about how you balance, frankly, habits. But you're not going to be able to see how you're doing on any of these habits. You're just born, and you kind of have to feel out what your troubles are, and and you start figuring out, you know, if you've got some malady, and it may stay as generic as that, you have to try to account for it. You know, you'll probably have to invest more in health, so you can live longer, which is really what the health is about. It's about living well. Now, there's some things you can't control. I would say death happens mostly in this game just as kind of a random thing. It's not random, though. You know, it's based on several things. If your health gets too low, you die. There are other things that can kill you, I'm sure. And choices that you make affect that. You know, you almost, you're going to have a choice generator. And every choice either helps give something. You know, things are tracked in here. One of them is life force. That's actually something that's displayed. That one's pretty vital. But a lot of people will only apply health to it. Choices have other things to do. Anyway, so okay, we've done cleaving, we've done parenting, we've done health, we've done learning. The next one is faith, and this is specifically in relation to God. I thought about using the word devotion, but people can be devoted to lots of things. I think faith has to do with a devotion toward God. And really, kind of trust. Every turn, and like I said, let me see what number I came up with. 152 choices. This is basically all the choices that you will make up to age 70, if you live that long, totals up to basically 152 choices. Now, if you're still alive at 70, it goes on until you die. Now, the older you get, the less life force you have, and something comes up, some choice gets made, or something happens. As soon as your life force drops down to zero, you're dead. But that's okay, because then you progress on to... You go on to the cleansing, however much cleansing you need, and then you go to judgment, and then you get placed in your everlasting reward, whatever that is. You know, and the whole thing is that you play this game over and over again. And hopefully, as people play it, hopefully it becomes a little, I don't want it to become a huge obsession, but a bit of an obsession, because it needs to be a learning experience. You need to come to, hopefully, out of playing this game several times, you start saying, you start thinking about, number one, the choices you make, number two, the situations you get yourself into, and what really is important. These are things that I think are really important and are measurable. Demonstrable. What in judgment God could choose to use to determine where you're going to go and what you're going to do. Okay, so faith is important, because faith has to do with devotion to God. Do you go and interface with God often? Faith is the amalgam of prayer and scripture study and covenants and things like that. An authoritative baptism is presupposed in the game to begin with, because in this case, you've probably done it before you were 18. There is the supposition that when you get married, it will be a covenant marriage. And that it is an eternal bond. That's the whole thing about devotion. I don't know if we'll make sealing an additional marriage feature. At some point, you have to actually make a conscious choice to to seal this marriage. A lot of Latter-day Saints just do it at the beginning. Their marriage and their sealing is a package deal. Same day, same ceremony, really. Maybe it'll be good to separate it out here so that at some point, and if you don't ever get married, because you have a choice, to get married. Cleaving is non-existent, low non-existent. You know, you're just not doing it. There's no concept of like living together, because that's not cleaving. That's playing house, not cleaving. It's kind of like, you know, anyway, playing like you're an adult when you act like a child. It's like that. Anyway, okay, so I think I beat that horse pretty hard. Cleaving, parenting, health. And I know you're going to keep repeating this. You go, yes, things get repeated here. And that's not a bad thing. I've already got it. And you go, you know what? I bet you you don't. I bet you don't have it. When I look at the whole expanse of humanity, you can't just tell somebody something once. I really don't have very much respect for people who go, I'm only going to tell you this once, and then I'll never mention it ever again. I don't respect that at all. I think that's somebody that's trying to say how wonderful and smart they are, and then they're kind of not giving you the ability to become smart. They want to have the exclusive contract for smartness. It's like, excuse me, I bet you got this thing hammered into your head 5,000 times. Why are you denying that wonderful gift? I know some people just get tired of, you're saying the same things over and over and over again. So it's because it's important. Important things should be said over and over and over and over and over again, because it may stick. Or you may suddenly come to a realization. A whole lot of knowledge and learning and understanding. We aren't terribly convenient people. We usually aren't ready to accept or inculcate some principle, some idea, a piece of knowledge at the exact time that it is as the curtain is pulled away and you get to see it for a minute, but then some smarthy person pulls the curtain back and says, now go on, leave. You had your chance to learn this. If you didn't learn it now, screw you. And I think that has a lot to do. I said, I don't mean to be rude to pedagogy, but I will be. Is that's a thing about pedagogy. Is you're only going to get these things at certain moments. And if you don't get it, people give you kind of that sourpuss look and say, why weren't you paying attention? And you're going, you know what? It says, my life isn't to sit here with rapt attention with everything that some random boob says. And we're all random boobs. If you think you're anything beyond just a random boob, you're an idiot. And, there is to do it. Anyway, I don't want to get too exercised about this. Anyway, okay. So I go back through it again. You get it yet? Cleaving, parenting, health, learning, faith. The next one is responsibility. Do you take personal responsibility for things? And it's a habit. You know, if you didn't hear something that I said, that's my fault. Like I was just talking about before, the whole thing about I'm only going to tell you this once. And it's like, you know what? Garbage. Please don't saddle somebody with that. You're just telling them that because you want everybody's full attention. And let me tell you, can I be honest? Most people who look at life this way want your full attention all the time. I am so important. And everything that I say is so loaded with such depth and meaning. And I'm sorry, I don't even extend that to Jesus Christ. I don't think every move he made was calculated like so many people do. I don't think it works that way. Anyway, boy, let me make sure I've got this recording still going. Is it still going? Good. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go back to our thing. All right. Anyway, responsibility. You need to take personal responsibility. And that is a habit. And I've worked on this one myself for just saying, you know what? I'm not going to say that, you didn't teach it to me the right way. That's where a lot of the criticism of pedagogy being a central feature of life, which I don't think it is, comes from, is that you must have tried to transmit this to me in a really shoddy way because I didn't learn it, because it's your job to fill up my brain with all this amazing stuff. I pay you to do it. That's why I think teaching as a paid profession is a little bit tricky. Just a bit. I mean, I'm willing to take money for it. I'm not saying that we need to take away money from teachers. Although a 20-year-old teacher really doesn't have much to say to anybody because they don't know much. I think at this particular place I'm scratching 57. It's going to happen to me in a week. Actually, in a few days. It's going to happen Saturday. I probably only barely qualify as somebody who has something that might be useful, have some information that might be useful to other people. In general, in like the wisdom department, there's plenty of stuff that you can catch from experience. You can catch it pretty fast. So a 20, 25, 30-year-old will have something useful to say. Not typically in the grand scheme of things particularly. It's usually in just smaller realms. It says that's fine. It said, should we really be putting children into the hands of 20-year-olds as if those 20-year-olds are really, you know, good to do? We probably, you know, that's a point in favor of having school take up less of a child's time, is because you shouldn't be, your time shouldn't be dominated by a bunch of 20-year-olds. I'm sorry. Even if you're older, you're basically in competition. Teaching positions are competitions. And the 20, 25, 30-year-old set is much more limber than the 55 and up set, which I'm in. And, and if that ends up being one's criteria, what one has to churn out to show that they're good, or that you should be allowed to dominate the time and attention. See the whole thing about attention? Dominate the time and attention of highly developing children is painful. It's painful to think that's what's needed. You know, much better to set these kids out from school prison and let them share time with their with their now old grandparents, great grandparents, people that have went through a lot of life and being around them, giving attention to them would probably be far more useful. We don't tend to do that. We tend to sequester old people in other places. Leave us alone. Don't bother us. We never liked you anyway. Usually the predominant hatred of your own parents and the fact that you know better than your parents do, and that's usually not true. Oh my gosh, all these trucks out here. It really, no, anyway, I don't know how responsibility got into this. But you need to develop responsibility. You need to take control of your own life. You don't need to blame other people for things. That's not being responsible. Socialism is an act of irresponsibility, saying that the larger society needs to control more and more of your life and your decision making. And I don't know I think that that's a whole nother game. I don't want to play the game of handing yourself over to the management of a committee or a group or a nation. I'm very much their side. We form ourselves into mostly voluntary associations. And there are a few things that are so distasteful that we set up governments and empower them to handle things that are distasteful, like sewage, roads, stuff like that. You know, you can make some money working on roads, but I hope it's not. I hope you don't consider that your lifelong pursuit. I hope you don't just focus on that. That you say, you know what? I decided there was a line from the recent movie Sabrina, and I think it's just maybe a feature of the basic story, and I forget what the name of the basic story that it's pulled from. Dang it! I feel bad. Sabrina is just one of the characters, and that's the name of stuff. Anyway, the chauffeur, one of the main characters is the daughter of the chauffeur. The chauffeur says, "I took this job because I wanted to read a lot, and it was because he usually spends his time sitting in the car waiting for somebody to come out of an appointment or something like that. And he spent his time reading during those times." Anyway, so now we're just coming to Vega, man. I got about half an hour, and I think we're about a half an hour out. There we go. Okay, I don't need to go so fast. Uses up a lot of gas. That costs money. Also wears out the vehicle faster. Oh, the vehicle's going to get worn out anyway. It's just the nature of the beast. Oh, my gosh. I almost lost my list. Responsibility. Don't foist stuff on other people. That's pedagogy. That's so many things. That's handing yourself. That's limp rag Christianity. I'm going to make myself a limp rag for Christ to animate. You know, Christ has a life. He expects you to live your life. You know, he's not going to take over your life. I can't do good. There's a song that's sung by Amy Grant back in the day. And one of the lines is, I can't do good because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. I'm sorry. That's like the anthem of limp rag Christianity. I hand things over to Jesus. Now, do I want the Lord to help me? Oh, yeah. Do I give him lots and lots of room to do so? I don't tell him particularly what I want because I don't know what I want. Some people have a clear idea, and that's great. They can ask for that, get it all they want to, which is great. That's them taking responsibility. I do too. I go out and I do all of the legwork, but I say, you know, Heavenly Father, if this isn't going to be a good thing for me, if this isn't going to be the right choice to make or a good choice to make, it doesn't have to be. It may not be a right or wrong. It may just be good, better, best. If it's not good, if it's not better, it's not the best. Please put something in the way so it won't happen, which is easy. It's an easy thing to do, is to screw up things so that they can't happen. Or I don't even know if you should call it screwing up things. You should just, you know, it's an acceptance of God knowing more about the future than you do and about what you should be doing. Because he's smarter than you are too, you know, and you go, come to grips with that. It's almost a pride dismantling, is to say, I want God to be able to affect my life a lot. So I invite him to do so. Anyway, so getting more responsibility is good. Let's move on. This is the last one I have so far. I'm not sure if it's done yet. This one's, I struggled to figure out what to call it. I finally settled on charity. I was going to call it service to others, but that's too long. But charity also includes how you treat your parents. And that's a big aspect of it. Most of these things manifest themselves in something of a microcosm. It can take on a whole life just within your family, the family you grew up in, which is your parents and your siblings, the family that you create yourself, which is your spouse and your children. Almost all these things are wrapped up in each other. And I don't know if I make these recordings for my grandchildren. My oldest grandchild just turned 3, so I don't think he's going to be listening to this stuff. But I certainly want him and his generation, my grandchildren, to have me. And I don't know how often we're really going to be able to be with each other. They all live at a distance. We don't come together very often. It might be a cultural thing right now in my children's lives that they want to get as far from me and as independent as possible as they can be. And it's like, you know what? That's great. They don't often, you know, they don't often ask for money. My oldest daughter asked for money a lot. My oldest child, she's decided to go transgender and hates my guts for all eternity. I hope that's not true, but, you know, that's up to her. This is, am I gonna bend over backwards to try and accommodate her behavior? I said no, because that was one of the, you know. Our first child had troubles, and I don't hopefully swatter too much about it because the other kids got to see her and how she handled things and how Lisa and I reacted to it, and it taught them a whole lot. You know, it was like the whole thing. You only really have to potty train one kid, the oldest kid probably, and everybody else will just watch what they do and imitate them, and they'll be okay. Except that in the case of my oldest, if you imitate her too much, you might be in trouble because she's fallen into some bad habits. If you were to put it in the frame of this game, she might have either thrown out learning or is learning the wrong stuff. And it's leading her to stupid places that are going to cause her more problems than she ever really wanted. But, you know, can I be honest? Every family's probably got something like that. In my case, it just happened to be my oldest was, I don't know if I call it rebellion, but when I look at it, try to look at it objectively, that's kind of the only thing I can come from is the fact that anytime she speaks to me or speaks to my wife, she doesn't speak to me, it's not complimentary of me at all. And it's like, wow, you know what? The other kids don't have as big of a problem with her. With me as she does. And it's like, why? And you go, you know what? I can, just given, the circumstances that we got thrown into, she always wanted us to pay her debts. She would always get herself into debt and then she would come to us to bail her out. And we actually did a few times, you know, because I thought that, you know, because when I looked at it, I said, well, what else was she going to do? You know, she needed a car. She had to go into debt to get a car. And, she didn't make much money. So she needed help with that. So we would help some. And I think she got angry because we didn't help sufficient for her. And I was getting concerned that she wasn't taking much responsibility. This whole thing now, you know, in 2024, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, is one of his signature things, mostly to buy loyalty from young people. And then he finds out that a lot of people are still paying off student loans, was to forgive student loans, which is a tricky animal, but and it breeds the kinds of attitudes that are really soul poisoning. You know, I will vote for you if you give me, if you pay off my debts, if you give me some perk, if I get some freebie, and I know it came from you, I'll, and everybody thinks it's some kind of wonderful trade, you know, and you're going, there's no trade to it. You got yourself into hock. It wasn't somebody else's problem. Although, can I say, When it comes to my oldest daughter, my oldest child, did I kind of talk her into getting a car? Yeah. Did we go down and we go through all the stuff? Did I co-sign for it? I did. At the end of the day, did I decide just to pay off the car because I had the resources to do it? And she didn't. And, yeah, I did. And when I was going through it, I said, you know, for some time there, I was paying for just her insurance and having her make the payments. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not on on the hook for insurance, I'm on hook as a co-signer on the loan itself. So I said, well, the smarter thing to do is she can pay for the insurance, because the wonderful thing about insurance is if you get rid of the car somehow, even if you just park it somewhere and walk away from it, you can stop paying insurance on it, you know? And I don't know if you'll still be culpable. I don't know how exactly that works. I'm sure you could be held accountable for the fact that it's your car still and somebody else got damaged or something because you had parked your car by the side of the road. But anyway, so I took care of that. God, why am I getting into that? See, that one has to do with responsibility, but also with charity. If you can't be charitable to the people closest to you, you know, your parents, your siblings, your spouse, your children, and I'm not putting those in order. Number one is always your spouse. Always. If your spouse wants something and your parents want something too, you make sure that your spouse is okay. Rule number one. So it's great. But yeah, if you can't be charitable to these people, and you know, do I help them with things when they want the help? Yeah. In fact, I even go, is there any help you need? And they'll say, oh, no, I'm fine. And I don't know if it's because they go, boy, with Dad, there's so many strings attached. And you go, well, maybe. And you go, you know, says, but, you know, it's all about development. This all wraps around the whole idea of development. I think it's probably the desire to develop is a habit or needs to become a habit. I think it has a lot to do with learning. So you would put it in that particular thing. Anyway, so that's the game I'm kind of looking at. There's a bit more to it, but that is a whole lot of its what affects it. And you go, well, why don't you bring into account this thing and that thing? And you go, what about the money? And you go, oh, well, the money's going to be there, but if you spend too much time looking at it, it'll become a distraction. You need to give people alternate things to be concerned about that also track a little. You know, and I guess you could play it as the person that goes, hey, man, the person who dies with the most toys wins. And I don't really do it by money. It's called resources. And, you know, it goes up and it goes down. If you're parenting children and, you know, there is that habit of cleaving, which involves intimacy, one hopes, but can just involve sex. And if it's just sex, then your cleaving is kind of low. And that in combination with two or three other things, like I think you could have a pretty good picture of a person. I don't know if this starts being kind of a dating rating system, except that there is enough random things going on in this game, especially when it comes to death. You might be able to set it so you go, let me play the version of the game that lets you live to 70, that you'll just by nature live to 70. You will get your 152 choices. And based on those things, as long as you say, okay, I'm talking about myself and I'm not talking about somebody else, will this tell me what how good I am. You know, it may start you at 18 with everything kind of being in the middle of the road. And as you go along and you're making choices and things come up, you know, you can do the version that is just almost kind of akin to a personality test to see how do you want to behave, and you try to reflect yourself as much as you can. The actual learning experience, I think, comes from actually just playing the game without any goofing around with it, with a certain degree of randomness about what habits you already have, what habits you need to develop to get to a place that you want to go. If you want to be like God, you know, you're going to have this kind of a mix, and it'll be a big question of, well, does this really measure that? Are people trusting that? And you go, this is for entertainment purposes only. This is not necessarily reflective of reality, my dear friends. So anyway, yeah, I'm working on this this game. It's going to be online, and you'll be able to use it. I think it might be interesting to say, you know, after you've played this game, you can pay a little bit to get the result out of it. So it could be kind of a quasi personality test, but honestly, to say you kind of use this to examine a mate. Although, to be honest, the whole mate possibility of it really doesn't matter, given, you know, if you don't become godly, which is like God, who you're married to really doesn't make a whole big difference in the large scheme of things. You know, you may have lots of fun and party together all the time and have a great time with no anticipation of the life hereafter. And then it's like, oh, we just had a good time. You know, it's just like some kind of fling. You know, did you get married? And you go, yeah. Stay married your whole life? Yeah. And you go, huh. And they go, yeah, but it didn't seem interesting enough to one or the other of you, or maybe both of you, to go for the gold. And in earlier recordings, we talked about how I have done the degrees of glory, or just the degrees of eternity, for, you know, from the top to the bottom. I include outer darkness, although it's really hard to get there. I don't know if it's hard to get there, but you really have to rebel so that God doesn't even want you in the picture at all. You can't really make God mad. All this unconditional love stuff is garbage. God can get angry with you, you know, and not bless you and put obstacles in your path specifically to make sure that you can't really affect other people. And if you fight that so that you are steering a lot of people away from God and what he does, it's a perfect right to hate you. And, it's got to be tough on the unconditional love people, because it's like, no. His love is, you know, if you treat him like garbage, he doesn't do anything for you. And I try to work the same way. You know, am I willing to help? Sure. Give you all the advice I got. This is, but it's not just yours for the stealing, not just yours for the taking. It's you know, you have to be decently good to me. You can't treat me like garbage, and then, you know, I need some help with this, or I need some help with that. It's like, why should I give you any help? This is, you've been wretched to me, and I'm not obligated to. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we need to be nice. And I mean, it's like, no, garbage, forget it. No, will not do. Sorry. If you're not even just passingly civil to me, I don't have to do anything for you. You know, and you go, well, I'll just do things. I don't need that person. That's fine. You know what? You might not need them at all. That's true. It says, but you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm here 5 minutes, 1 minute too early. Let's see if the gas guy is here yet. I don't see him. Big question is the system turned on yet? I don't think so. Well, I'll sit here for a few minutes because I got the time. I go to Walmart and they don't open until 6, and it's about a minute before 6. Oh no, the thing is on. Fan-stinking-tastic. It must have just turned 6 o'clock because the screen changed. It's on a timer. Thank goodness. Okay, I need to let you go. This is Jason Nemro. Thank you for listening to Cohen Meander, and this is the Webified Game of Life episode. Let's see, what else to tell you? Oh, we'll leave you with the priestly blessing of my Father. So Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.